Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
One of my favorite animal-related activities is watching animals think. I not only do this with my own animals and animals belonging to friends and incidental livestock or wild animals. I just like to watch them. I like to observe the way they react to and interact with their environment. Where I really get to indulge this passion of mine is when I see animals with behavioral problems. For the most part, these are dogs, and more often than not, they have serious behavioral problems, like aggression, separation anxiety. I don't observe animals with the idea of putting labels to what they're doing. In fact, if you were to read the write-ups of my cases and the notes I keep, you would find very little in the way of the terminology that peppers other behavioral professionals' records. I'm not so interested in slotting a particular animal or that animal's behavior into a category. I'm much more interested in figuring out how a particular animal processes his or her reality. Obviously, I believe that animals are capable of cognition. That's my starting point, and it's the reason I grant them a lot more leeway than some other people may. I've mentioned on previous occasions that when I see animals at the clinic, I ask the owner to just let the animal wander around the room, which is secure but filled with all kinds of novel things. But just let the animal wander around the room, if the animal would like to do that, while we discuss the history. When possible, I give my clients a heads up before we meet so they come prepared. Because it's not really easy to ignore your own dog, particularly if you're afraid that your own dog is going to misbehave and possibly even bite someone. I tell them to dress comfortably, to bring anything that they might want to bring to make themselves more comfortable. Coffee, wine, I really don't care. My goal is that they relax. And that's selfish on my part. Because I know if they're relaxed, their dog is going to be relaxed too. And they and I are going to see their dog in a much more favorable light. I don't need to see the dog misbehaving. The people who live with the dog are quite capable of providing me with information of that. I can get videos of this. I can get pictures of the damage. And because the behaviors and damage are invariably related to the animal's stress, I see no reason to put the dog through that, to demonstrate this for me. So instead, I just let them do their thing. And after years of doing this, I've discovered that dogs, like people, have a very specific idea in their minds regarding what they need to do to feel secure. And no two dogs are alike. They all have their own variations on that theme. Some are markers. Of the markers, some mark with urine, others with stool. Where they mark also tells me where they're coming from. Do they mark the door to the waiting room? The door behind me? Do they lift their leg on the exam table? Or on the chairs that their people were sitting on? All of these things tell me a lot. Dogs who aren't markers may set their limits in some other way. I had the honor of meeting a dog who has lost an eye, and he uses sound. He's a barker. He doesn't bark because he wants to pick a fight. He barks because he wants to avoid a fight. And that's what these dogs have taught me so often, is that as long as I keep an open mind and I get the whole picture and I listen to what the animal has to say to me and I observe what the animal is saying to me, I learn what their story is. I learn what they're trying to communicate as best as I can. The system isn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but it helps me to get the big picture. It helps me to understand where this dog is coming from, what kind of world the dog is living in perceptually, what kind of emotional world the dog is living in, and to some extent, how intelligent the dog is. Relative to canine intelligence, I will say that one thing I've learned over these years is that dogs are a heck of a lot smarter than most of us think they are.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.